Adam Shikora of Buffalo will be telling us about quantization and toric degeneration of character varieties of surfaces.
Thank you. Inspired by George's interest in computational quantum topology, I'm going to start with a little announcement. So, theorem, the Jones conjecture. Which says that the Jones polynomial distinguishes the unknot from all other knots, holds up to 23 crossings. And in fact, soon we should be able to verify it holds up to 24 crossings. That's a project with my student.
Even better if it fails at 24.
Exactly, that's what I hope. Well, one thing in my life, I hope for a project with my student Bob Tuzum, and as you can imagine, it's an enormous computational project which took around 15 core years. So a single core professor would take 15 years to verify that using some fancy optimizations. All right, so going to now main talk. I'm going to talk about scaling modules. So let M be an oriented three-dimensional manifold with bundle or not, and possibly non-compact. Then I will consider the set of frame links in M. And frame links means embedding of analyte into M. So they have framing. Frankly, this framing is technicality, so you can just ignore it. And I will also include here the empty set as an element. Now, I will take a ring R, ring of coefficients, and that ring will have an invertible element Q. Some people also denote it by A. So now the scaling module of M is the space of linear combinations of those frame links, modulo the couple of scaling relations, which look like this. The empty link, the empty knot should have value like in the Kaufman bracket. Like this. All right, so this is some sort of module with infinite-dimensional generators. Those frame links considered after isotropy and infinite-dimensional relations. And so the motivation for this construction is as follows. Having this module, we have invariant of things. Very simple invariant, which takes a link to its equivalence class, the scaling module.
So those relations are within a three-sum ball, right?
Yes. So this means that you have three different links that are identical except for a ball. In that ball, they look like this. So this is very similar to how you define Kaufman bracket. And in fact, now you can state Kaufman's existence of the bracket. To say that the scaling module of R3 or S3 is just critical. Well, it's cyclic. Yes, scaling module of S3 is just R. Well, it's a cyclic module generated by the empty link. I consider this to be a link of zero components. Yes, so now this becomes a scalar, and that's the Kaufman bracket. And so it's easy to see that this model will be generated by the empty link because you can resolve all the crossings, eliminate loops. The sort of surprising fact for everyone was that actually it doesn't collapse to zero. It's a free cyclic model. So more generally now, if you can compute this model for some three-dimensional manifold, what does it mean compute? For example, the term is free and you know its phases, then you get an invariant of links in that manifold. Unfortunately, those models are very difficult to compute. Now there is recently there was a big conjecture, a surprising conjecture by Edward Witten on the subject, which surprised everyone, which says something about these models, which seems like Tang has a proof of, which is very exciting, and maybe he will tell us on Friday about it. But invariance of links is not, it's motivation for this object, but it's really not motivation for my talk. I am interested in surfaces in this talk. So let F be a surface, an orientable surface with or without boundary, and then we can consider the scale model of F cross I. I is the interval, and this is not just a model, it's also an algebra, because given two links, I can define their multiplication by putting L1 on top of L2 in this cylinder. All right, and so this is associative multiplication, usually not commutative. And notice I couldn't do it for other manifolds. If you take arbitrary three-dimensional manifold and two links, which are defined up to isotopy only, there is no canonical way to take union of them. Even you can see it even in for F cross S1, it's not clear how to put those two links together in a unique way, in a canonical way. Anyway, so this is an algebra. I will denote it simply by S of F, and this is called Skein algebra. So this is an object which attracted a lot of interest in recent years. As you can see, it has some quite interesting properties. And some of you know about them, some perhaps not. So let me say a few things about that. So why do we care? Well, let's analyze this object first of all. In the simplest case, when Q is equal to plus minus 1 and R is just complex numbers. So if you draw the scalar relation, I'm going to ignore the framing. There's always lack of framing. So if you draw this relation for Q equal plus minus 1, Q1, this is the relation. Now you can rotate it 90 degrees. So if you do that, you get these pictures. And then notice that those two lines are equal. Okay, so in the case of Q equal plus minus 1, we get a selection which allows us to change crossings, which means that the bank is completely useless for not filtering. Because now, basically, links are considered up to homotopy. But there is some lemonade which can be made out of this lemon, and that is that now this Skein algebra actually is, now we can, so this is a comment for any manifold M, and so for these values of Q, this model becomes now algebra, because now we can take the fine product of two links as any union of them. Because any two such unions will differ by changing crossings. Okay, so you get an algebra which is commutative. And so you can ask, what's that? Well, there's an old theorem by Bullock. This is myself, which says that this algebra is the coordinate ring of the SL2C character variety. Okay, so what's that? This is the space of all homomorphisms of Pi1 of M. So in particular, this theorem says this algebra depends only on Pi1 of M. All homomorphisms into SL2C considered up to conjugation. Okay, so even in this simplest case of Q equal plus minus 1, the object which you obtain is actually quite non-trivial. And what this theorem tells you, that scale models can be thought of some sort of quantization or Q deformation of those coordinate rings. Well, to be precise, this equivalence between Q equal 1 and minus 1 is not obvious, and that requires spin structure, and that was observed by Barrett. All right, so now, so what's character variety of F? Well, it's you can say it's complexification of the Teichmann space. So you can embed Teichmann space into character variety of F as a set of real points. What's the scale algebra of F? Well, it's a quantization of the character variety.
Real points, wouldn't it have several connected components?
Yeah. So I said that it embeds as a set of real points, but of course there are more, yes. So now I'm actually very loose, it's just motivation. So what I want to say, is that you can think of that as quantum Teichmüller space. So going back to here, I just made some very rough arguments, which I don't claim is precise in any way. The argument is that scalar algebra of F is like a quantum high-humor space. And I will go back to this, but maybe just to finish on the subject of crackle varieties. So of course one has to be careful here. This is called categorical quotient, which is slightly coarser. I don't know, makes the algebra smaller, but makes the space smaller than the set theoretical quotient. But these are technicalities, and I will come back to this later. Yes, so back to quantum Tachmiller space. So this may look a little bit far-fetched, but I should point out that there's another notion of quantum Tachmiller space. So there is quantum Tachmiller space of a surface, of a punctured surface, constructed by Chekhov and Fock. I think there is C there, but now I'm not sure. No, there's no C. Chekhov and Fock. And so how do they construct that? Well, they consider an ideal triangulation of F. So as I said, they assume that F is punctured. And they quantize shear coordinates, or the polynomials in shear coordinates, the algebra of those polynomials. They quantize it, and this is the quantum Tachmiller space. And this object is very closely related to scalar algebra. It's related by a theorem by Bonnahon and Wong, who proved that there is certain embedding called quantum trace, embedding scalar algebra F into quantum Tachmiller space of F. But remember, this is for puncture. For puncture F. Okay, not only there's an embedding, there are this close relation between those two objects. And in fact, I talked to Bonnahon, and he agreed with me that this is probably a more appropriate object for the term quantum Tachmiller space than this algebra. But anyways, this is just terminology. I think, by the way, this quantum trace was simplified later by Tangler, and I think he may talk about this, and also I think François will talk about this. Okay, now I want to tell you something about more general construction. Will be framed links in F cross time. But actually, those things also include arcs, framed arcs, and endpoints of arcs.
Do you mean f cross b or f cross I?
Thank you. F cross I. And the endpoints of arcs should be in b cross I. And we should decide that, say, the framing at the endpoint is always horizontal. And so now, there's a version of Skein algebra considered by Muller for those marked surfaces. And this is now space of linear combinations of these links. Again, by the Kalman bracket scalar relations, which I'm again drawing without framing. But I also will add extra relation. If this is a fiber over D, it should be red, then an arc parallel to it must be zero. And again, it's an algebra. If you take two links, you can stack one on top of the other. An algebra of F. Right, and you can prove usually non-commutative. I think this may be in the paper of Muller. All right, so what's the interpretation for this algebra? Well, to explain this algebra, we should consider marked character varieties. So now at X, F, B. So I'm using B here because M is taken, so B is like base points. So a character variety of marked surface F, B is, you can think of this as space of all flat syntactic C2 bundles. Over F with a section over B. I guess, yeah, you can consider this set, and well, it's a known duality in moduli spaces, therefore B empty, this is the same as character varieties, object over there. And it was analyzed by Samuelson and Muller, and they proved that this again is the structure of an algebraic set, which is not obvious. By the way, maybe this was also not entirely obvious that this has the structure of an algebraic set, but it does. And so I can prove the following theorem, that Muller's Skein algebra for the value for the value 1, yeah, for the value 1 of f of d is the coordinate ring of this variety. So those mark points allow us to quantize this more general object.
Sorry, do you take a section or a trivialization over me?
Well, that's the same because these are points. You can take a section, but of course a section will be trivial. Oh, I see. It doesn't matter. Either is fine. I mean, if I have one vector, then there is another vector with syntactic form being equal to 1.
But not canonically.
Not canonically, but it doesn't matter.
Adam?
Yes?
Maybe it's too general for this, and then tell me to shut up. Okay? But, so the problem with determining what is the scheme module is that you have, you know, you never know if you've found all the relations. Am I right?
Yeah.
Now, is this susceptible to brute force? So you like write programs that generate quadrillion relations, and then you realize that after the first 500, the remaining quadrillion minus 500 don't contribute anything, and then you have great confidence that what you got is already right.
If you talk about great confidence, then you know it becomes a little bit fake, and I'm happy to agree. But the problem is, I mean, we have infinitely many relations, and when we have good structure, like in algebra, yes, then we have all those techniques which say, well, this finite list of relations will imply all other relations. But here we don't have a good structure. We have to operate on links in three-dimensional space.
Right, so you draw all links with up to 23 or 24 crossings. Yeah. I know it's a lot. Okay, so reduce it to 12.
Yeah, absolutely.
And completely brute force check it. I mean, is this... I mean, at least you'll gain confidence, because at least my expectation, maybe it's naive, is that all the relations will actually come relatively quickly from small links.
So there are two cases. If you do this enumeration up to 23 crossings, you may get a scheme model which is finite dimension, and basically you can see stabilization, nothing more. And then of course you have a confidence.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
But it may happen is that scheme model has infinite dimension, and so as you enumerating relations will always add something new, and you never stabilize. Although you may see some patterns, of course, and you may see what will be at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the
So is this isomorphism canonical?
It requires taking string structure, like in Barrett, but you have to generalize it also. You have to also generalize it to the context of apps. But it's not really difficult. And actually, it's kind of inspired, I should say, by what Tang told me. So it may be related somehow to Tang's work or Tang's work as well. But I'm not sure what's the statement you guys have. Anyway, so once you get the idea, it's not really that difficult. Okay, so why do we care about those things? Well, another reason we care about those is because Mohler proved that these scheme algebras, so with some generic Q, well, I think they require localization of some sort, which I don't remember the details of, but these algebras are quantum cluster algebras. Right, so they have some very nice algebraic structure. Anyways, so that's
so
yeah.
I ask you one question. If you take this F to be the disk and B to be the two points,
yes.
The manifold. The variety X is SL2C, right?
Disk with two points at the boundary.
Yes.
Oh. Well, what do you? Oh, if there's SL2C. Okay. Okay, thinking at the blackboard is never easy, but I'm tempted to say this would be algebra of polynomials in one variable.
Okay.
Because you just get one arc and you just consider multiplicities of it.
What about loops, about any of the...
Well, remember the trivial loops are supposed to be contracted to this arc.
No, but no, not trivial. You have those two points of view.
Well, Francois asked me about this picture. Maybe I should draw it in a nicer way, just this picture. So there's only one arc and those...
Oh, and the boundary is sort of...
Yes. Mm-hmm. I see the reason for your question, but you guys consider stated algebras.
Yes.
And when you do stated algebra, I think you will get a circle.
Yeah. I guess the difference is really because you choose a section and not a serialization. This one is the difference. Anyway, sorry.
I think the difference is that in your algebra, in your dot, you're going to put plus or minus here. And I don't. Anyway, so moving on. Okay, so I hope I made the case that scale algebras are interesting objects. We don't know much about them, especially for closed surfaces. So that's really the purpose of my talk. I'm going to use here the Teichmuller theory, or theory of measured foliations of Thurston, on one hand. But then I'm going to also apply some ideas you all like from this workshop. I will talk about filtrations, associated graded algebras, I will mention formality. So let's get to it. First of all, I need to tell you a little bit about filtrations, foliations. So okay, so yes. So let F be a surface, as before, and a foliation. All right, I'm getting into trouble here, but so this curl F will be for foliation. I will try my best to distinguish that from this F. We'll see how that works. So a foliation is on the composition of a surface. Into one manifold, one submanifold, such that each point either has a trivial neighborhood, trivially foliated neighborhood like this, but that wouldn't work for, such thing wouldn't exist for surfaces with negative order characteristics, so we have to allow singularities. So we'll consider k prong singularities. Okay, this is three-prong singularity, but you can consider n-prong singularities. Right, so that's foliation. And having that, I want to define something new called transverse monoid. What it is, there could be script H of foliation, and what is it? It's just set of all transverse multiples in F. Okay, what are multiples? Means disjoint circles which are simple closed curves, no intersections, and they must be transverse. In particular, the mass of all singularities. And I claim that this is a monoid. So what's the addition? Well, if you have two pieces of arcs which intersect in the presence of foliation, well, when you have such crossing, there is no canonical resolution of it. But there is one in the presence of foliation. So This is called, this is, I call this transverse looping, because what you get is a new multi-loop which is transverse again. So now, alpha plus beta is just a union of them with crossing smooth. Smooth transverse, like here. And so this is a commutative associative operation. You get certain monoid, some strange monoid. And this monoid is a little bit like first homology of the surface, the base of loops.
So in principle, you could have decided to resolve the other way, right? Is it the same or is it?
No, because this is transverse smoothing, and the other one.
Oh, the other one would break the transverse.
So those we don't allow. Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit like first homology, it's built of cycles, except they are unoriented. But nonetheless, the analogy goes further. Because now.
Loops in alpha is transverse, loops in beta is transverse, but alpha in beta is it transverse?
Well, it would be also transverse, but the problem is it has intersections which we don't allow here in the definition. So what I say is all the intersections in this way, and now you get a new element. So now, now let's look at, again, at intersection of alpha and beta. And there are two possibilities. Intersection like this, I will call positive, and like this, negative. And again, the only reason I can do it is because I'm in presence of foliation, and because they are So now, I can define omega of alpha beta to be the sum of all crossing signs. Between alpha and beta. Okay, so what I get is some sort of skew symmetric pairing on this transverse monoid for any foliation. Which is bi-additive.
What does H stand for? What does H stand for?
H stands for the fact that for me it's a little bit like homology. Okay. But it's just any letter. Any letter that one can choose. Maybe I should have chosen T. Anyways, so we have this bilinear pairing, this intersection pairing, even though, again, loops are unoriented. Right? So now a theorem. This monoid has a cancellation property. Not every does, but this one does. So alpha plus gamma equal beta plus gamma implies alpha plus beta. And because of that,
alpha equal beta.
So I can prove that it has cancellation property.
So here you consider everything up to isotopy in that class, in the class of transversal multiples.
Right? That's right, yeah.
Is that different than isotopy?
No. So at this level it is actually. But
it is?
Yes, at this level, because I didn't assume anything about the foliation. But once later, I will assume that foliation is measured, and that is the same. So having that, we can consider its groupification. Well, you can always consider groupification of a monoid, but The point being here is that you have an embedding of your monolith now into this cryptification. Okay, so another theorem is that this is a free abelian group. Well, obviously it's an abelian group because it was commutative. It's a free abelian group for of rank 6g minus 6 plus 3 times the number of boundary components and plus punctures of F. So, by the way, here I consider unmarked surfaces, but frankly, everything in the stock will hold for marked surfaces, just for simplicity. I don't bother here. Okay, it's just free abelian group. So what's this group? Well, for that, we need a little bit more Hausdorff theorem. Let us assume that it's a symmetric foliation.
And open?
Yes. For this part, sorry, a very good point. So for this part, actually, I need to assume it's sufficiently general. I will come back to this. I need to assume it's open foliation.
What was that?
Okay, so, yes. I need to be a little bit careful here. So here, I need to assume for sufficiently generic F, foliation F, and so the condition, the right condition, is that it's open. Frankly, I don't know if it's necessary condition, but
but
measure
foliation. Though.
Yes, measure. What does open mean? It means that it has no closed leaves, which means it has no closed loops as leaves, and there is no compact intervals, no compact leaves connecting singularities. So you can prove, well, I will come back to this later, you can prove that that such foliations are dense, and in a sense, they are generic. And maybe this is true in more general setting, but just for the safety, let's assume this. Anyway, so yes, I want to explain what's that. And for that, we have to go deeper into Teichmann theorem, or Thurston's theorem. And so Thurston introduced the notion of a train track on the surface, and he proved that every measured Now I should talk about measured foliations. Yes. So. Let's do it carefully. Okay. So again, let this script be a foliation. So you can consider that a measure, a transverse measure, mu, it will send, let's say, transverse arcs, although it can be extended to all arcs, into, well, it will assign certain non-negative number, as measured as, and well, it should be sort of additive in obvious way, but also it should be invariant under homotopy, and which keeps the endpoints on the same leaf. So, in the Hirschsprung theory, one considers variations with a transverse measure. And so, Thurston proof, as you guys know, it's a famous fact that the space of measured foliations of F, so this is space of measured foliations, compactifies the Teichmuller space of F. So now, so maybe now again, I should precisely that I require F to be open.
So it's not the projecting.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yes, you have to, they are considered up to scalar multiple of a measure, so these are projective. So now I should write that I require F to be open, and for me this means, I don't know what's the standard term in literature, but I call it open. It means, as I said, no closed leaves nor compact separatrices. And so, as I said, generic foliation would be of this nature for on a hyperbolic surface, on a surface of color characteristic negative. So maybe that should be also the running assumption. Okay, so I still want to explain what this group is. So for that, we need to talk about train tracks, which were introduced by Thurston. And he proved that every recurrent maximal train track, every measured foliation is carried, and I'm not going to explain the details, by a recurrent maximal train track. And in fact, that train track will carry a neighborhood of foliations in this space, or in the space of measured foliations, and it would define a linear structure on this neighborhood. Okay, and that's in particular the reason why measured foliations form a piecewise linear manifold. But I am going to use the fact that now a train track by what I said defines a tangent space to a foliation. So this foliation comes from some measure, which I don't write now right here, to the space of measured foliations. All right, so now here's a theorem that the dual space to that, the cotangent space, is isomorphic to this space, to this group. Well, this is a finitely generated group, so I have to take this group and tensor it with R. So this is some simple interpretation of what cotangent space is. Now, we have this intersection theorem on this homology. So, therefore, we have intersection theorem on this space. So, dual to omega is omega star, which is now intersection pairing on the tangent space. Well, it's just, sorry, a bilinear pairing on the tangent space. Well, maybe I should also point out that this is not just a vector space. It's a vector space which comes canonically with a lattice in it. And that lattice explains this fancy structure of Thurston code, PIP. Yes?
There's an additional structure you had on H, which was the product. You've only talked about what the syntactic structure is.
Yes.
Does the product show up?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But just the integrality, well, just this lattice inside of the vector space, this explains this more fancy structure of Thurston code. PIP, projective, projective integral piecewise linear. Yes.
So if you, since you don't have a P, you could drop the projective.
Correct, yes. Yes. All right. So I think I'm ready to go to scalar algebras, but I should mention, okay, so this is not open, because open are nice, but again, as I said, they're really generic, number one. So there's uncountably many of them. And in fact, if you take any pseudo-Anosov transformation of a surface, then the stable and unstable foliations of it are open. All right, back to scaling algebras. Or back at least to, maybe I should say at least back to quantum world. So we will need the following now gadget. This looks fancy. What's that? Well, this is really this, remember, is just a z to some power. And so what is it? This is just an algebra of Laurent polynomials, except that they don't commute, they q-commute. And something like this is called quantum torus. And this quantum torus is quantized by Thurston symplectic form. So now, inside of it, we have the monoid ring. Some sub algebra. Okay, so we'll need it in a moment. Because now I can really go back to scalar algebras. Okay, so here. So let's do it. First of all, now we have a measured foliation. Measure foliation on some surface F will determine a filtration of scalar algebra. So now you would really hate me for this, because now it will be F sub L, and this will be a subspace of scalar algebra F spanned by digraphs of mu length, so transverse length less or equal L. Okay, F for foliation. Sorry, F for filtration. So it's a filtration by non-negative real numbers. And it's easy to see that this is an algebra filtration. So you have this property. Why? Because if you take product of something here and here, it means you stack them together, the length is really the sum of the lengths. And, okay, so as you know from, as we have seen many times in this workshop, once you have algebra filtration, it is useful to consider the associated graded algebra. So let G, S, F be the associated graded algebra, which means it's an algebra composed of quotients like this. It's a little bit maybe more fancy than some of other graded algebras, because here I'm not indexing it by integers or by real numbers, but it doesn't matter. Okay, this is the associated graded algebra. Why do we care about it? Because this algebra will have a simplified product, and nonetheless it will maintain, nonetheless the original algebra maintains many algebraic properties for this one. Okay, so now we'll tell you about this algebra. Maybe they are isomorphic for different foliations, and that's of course harder question. Maybe I should also mention here that just on the subject of one being the formation of the other, I should mention that they both have the same base. I think this is actually the theorem of Chetytsky, and also proved by many other people. But I think Chetytsky was the first one to notice that as a basis, a very simple basis of simple closed diagrams, simple, well, of multi-loops, trivial components. And sort of by simple algebraic nonsense, you can prove that the graded version of it is the same, has the same basis. Okay, so it's really the same vector space or module, but the only difference is in the product. All right, so now I'm ready to tell you something about what this product is. So first claim is that spiraling to a loop. If it doesn't have that, then you are fine. Clearly, if it has a spiral going to a loop, then you are in trouble because you cannot pass through that spiral. But that's again a bit of a technicality. But if F is open, then actually you have an isomorphism. Okay, so this is a relatively simple algebraic description of what this graded Skein algebra is. Alright, so remember this sits inside of the group ring, twisted group ring. And what's that? Well, this is quantum torus, yes? So in particular, the graded Skein algebra is a subalgebra of quantum torus, and Skein algebra itself, which is our main object, is some sort of the deformation of this subalgebra of quantum torus. So now I can tell you about the motivation. Okay, so the motivation for this work was essentially the work of Bonapon and Wong. Which I mentioned before. What did they do? Well,
just to understand, the Skein algebra itself is not a part of quantum torus, so it's not a quantum.
Yes, this is exactly a very good question, so I'm going to talk about this right now. Right now, the only thing which we see here is that for open foliation, the graded one is. So Bonham and Wong, what did they do? Well, they considered F punctured with ideal triangulation. All right, and then when you have this ideal triangulation, you can extend it to a foliation with a trivalent vertex, one trivalent vertex per each, or one trivalent singularity by three-prong singularity for every simplex, for every ideal triangle. Right? And so they proved, yes, they constructed they constructed, as I mentioned, quantum trace function. That is quantum trace function, which goes from the scalar algebra into this quantum Pechmüller space of Chekhov-Fock, which was quantum dose. Because these were polynomials in shear coordinates, and those shear coordinates were Q-kinetic. All right, so in this context, in this particular context, our embedding, so you can now consider our embedding, and this one, this embedding of this isomorphism would be induced by this one. Interesting, or more not most functional part of this theory is for closed surfaces, and for closed surface, the existence of such map is open. So, a formality question. So I should maybe add here for F closed. Okay, so you can think of this as formality question. In particular, there is a stronger question, if you can call question stronger. And the question is Skein algebra isomorphic to graded scalar algebra. You know, if that was the case, then certainly we wouldn't have this issue. We would have embedded scalar algebra. And
you mean as an algebra? Isomorphism as an algebra?
Yes, yes, yeah.
Sorry, I probably still don't quite understand. So how does the grazing work? What's the grazing? Or what's the filtration which induces the...
Like it is here.
You have a subspace. Can you give an example how...
All right, so let's consider, you know, some surface, yes, and it has some foliation. I don't know even how to draw foliation nicely here. Some foliation, and elements of this guy are close, are link diagrams, and so there are loops. They may intersect. They have some crossing information, but it doesn't matter. And each of them has a lect, because each loop has a transverse lect. What's transverse length of a loop? It's the minimum value of it as you change it by isotopes. And this transverse length is additive, so you have to sum it up over all components. It's additive under multiplication, because multiplication is just putting one diagram, one link on top of another. So that's this much I can say. It's harder to work out a very specific example, because the foliations are complicated, and you know.
Any example? Any, like, but still, to imagine it, one still needs to have in mind some example, right?
Yeah, the example.
One example.
Well, okay, we can do talks. We can just do talks. So, okay, for certain statements here, as I said, we need to. You need to assume that every step is logic, but in general, you can talk about torus. So you can see the Meribionar foliation. Skein algebra is built of link diagrams in the stars. Yes? And then, well, you consider a measure, and the measure is very simple. And is determined by just by the length of the longitude. So let's say that the length is 1. Let's just normalize it at 1. So what is FL? What is F1 then? Well, these are multi curves which totally go only at most once around the torus, around the longitude. So maybe actually F0 will be simpler. Okay, so basically FL, I should say, is going to be just powers of meridian for L less than 1. And then for L equal 1, of course, we have to add longitude and maybe longitude with some number of meridians, or longitude twisted by a number of meridians. Does this make sense?
Yeah, but how would the relation, would be interesting to see a filtered relation, and then how, what happens when you apply gradients? What?
Well,
right? That's...
Well, okay, so in particular here, you know, you have this link, well, you have this diagram, it's going twice around the longitude. And now, in Skein module, you would need to consider Q this plus Q inverse of a trigger one. So this is in Skein module. Skein algebra. In the graded Skein algebra, I don't have this part. So you just get this. So you can see it simplifies multiplication. Yes. Is it okay for the example?
Okay.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's only 90 minutes, so some. And also, to make more complicated examples is not easy because, say, when you talk about open foliations, there's plenty of them, but it's very hard to show them, really. Okay. Yes. So, I talked to Tanya about this question, and it's a big question. We don't have a complete answer to this, but Tanya observed that it cannot be always true, so if f is closed and q is a root of unity, then it seems like this algebra doesn't have to be a Zomaya, and this one has to be a Zomaya. When you, I guess, consider foliation coming from test the composition of this. Anyway, so it's possible that it's not entirely true, but even if it's not always true, it may be true under some assumptions. So, yeah, this existence of quantum torus to the embedding of the quantum torus with Skein algebra is open, and you can think of it as a formality question. All right. Now, there is a fancier way to frame these results. This is a monoid ring. and any monoid, every monoid ring is a coordinate ring of a coric variety. So it is a coordinate ring of a toric variety. All right, I have to admit to something, to some detail which we have to be careful about. This monoid may be infinitely generated, but it doesn't change much, it doesn't change anything I'm going to say. So, what's that? Well, you can think of it as quantum toric variety. Right, so we have here quantum toric variety. Oh, it shouldn't be Q, it should be omega. So algebraic geometers, they like toric varieties because any question about toric variety can be translated into the dual object, which is a fun in Euclidean space. And so you can ask, so those questions about toric varieties can be translated into questions in integral geometry, convex geometry. But, so for example, projective spaces, affine spaces are toric, but not all spaces are. And if a space is not toric, then the next big hope is that it has toric degeneration. So algebraic geometers study toric degenerations. And what's toric degeneration? X has a degeneration to a toric variety X0 if there exists a certain variety Z going into C, such that, and often people assume that this map is flat, such that all fibers are isomorphic to X, except for the central one. Maybe I call this map pi, except for the central one, preimage of zero, which is isomorphic to X0. So now, we can restate this result as follows. Every open collision defines a toric degeneration of the character variety of F and B quantum toric. So there's a quantum version of it, as we discussed here. Yeah, the quantum toric degeneration of the quantum version of it, which is the Skein algebra of F.
Sorry, X of F is for SL to C, right?
That's what yes, SL to C, yes. Yeah.
But then this is what? Some kind of non-compact toric manifold, right?
Correct, yes.
And the C omega here is exactly that R omega, right?
This omega is Kirsten's omega.
C?
Ah, C.
Yeah, it's, that's the same as the R omega that
we
introduced before, right?
Well, so my R here is C.
Okay.
The omega there is, this omega actually doesn't belong to the ring, it just it implies that the multiplication is boosted by omega.
Is the exothermic related to whatever, some Higgs moduli space or some whatever, some fancy stuff?
Well, it is related, of course, to Higgs moduli space, of yes.
But then the atomic degeneration, does it restart whatever this, maybe hyperbolic structures or whatever?
This is a good question. I don't know. So this is all fairly new. I'm just writing this stuff. But you are very, of course, this is a very good question. How does it relate to non-Abelian Hodge-Fiore, Higgs bundles, and so on? This also relates to toric geometry. When I say toric, I mean tropical geometry, which I would like to understand. So I would like to say, I still have a few minutes, I would like to say that, you know, those things are very abstract, but even if you, but they have very concrete applications, even if you don't care about the quantum world, they have some very concrete applications. Well, let me give you one application. So, corollary for NF. So, corollary for NF, and also possibly with mark points, because as I said, everything works also with mark points. This algebra is a domain. In fact, it's not just a domain, it's an order domain. And in particular, it's notarial. And so domain in particular means it has no zero divisors. So why this is the case? Well, actually, you know, actually, let's be careful here. So maybe. So, because it's enough to prove that, it is enough to prove that the graded object associated to it is. But that follows from the fact that this is a certain very nice subalgebra of the quantum torus. Of that. a field of functions. Such that it may be a non-reduced algebraic scheme. So the coordinate ring may have important elements. Skein algebra may have important elements. So here I claim that this theory of using foliations implies that actually this algebra, well, this variety will never have an important element with the reduced. And also irreducible. And so it's not a trivial fact. So even for when B is active for character varieties, three quarters of it were known. So it was known to be reduced by Goldman. No, it was known to be irreducible by Goldman. It was known to be reduced by Marchand. And for irreducible ones, for non-orientable F, it was known to be irreducible by Rapinchuk and some other guys, but it wasn't known to be reduced. So it's nice, number one, to extend it to all four settings and also for markbox. And it's nice that this argument with measured foliations gives a uniform proof of everything right away. Yes, and the proof, again, follows from the fact that, the coordinate rings are skein algebras, and skein algebras have no zero divisors. All right, maybe that's a good point to stop.
So let's thank Adam. And any further questions?
So as you mentioned, closed surfaces. So what do they do in this paper by Jordan, Safronov?
I just saw this paper last night, and I didn't have time to look carefully. But
did
Well, I tell you one thing they did. So this is a high-tech paper, right?
Yes.
They use the Rife algebraic geometry, and they say the following. First of all, by construction of Monahan and Wong, improved by Tang, you can embed coordinate week of character variety into non-commutative scale algebra. At roots of unity. And then they use that to say that Skein algebra can be thought as a algebra of sections of certain bundle over the character variety. That's my very imperfect understanding of what's happening there.
But they do speak about closed surfaces, right?
Yes. Yes, that's true. That is true. I think so. As I said, I only like look at it.
No, but since you said it was an open problem, it would be interesting to know they what solved it, or they advanced in it, or they has nothing to do with it, or just right.
It seems to. My first answer is: it seems there's no reason to think. It's very much related, but it's related in general to this. My first feeling is that they did not answer this question. Because they consider roots of unity.
Sure. So I think they have some claims about the whatever Azumaya locus or Azumaya.
Yeah. Okay, so I shouldn't really opine. It's good to. I need to look into it.
Further questions? Well, let's thank Adam once again.